For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thanksgiving deliverance and camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. A Thanksgiving weekend. This tape is Robert Cameron.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways I cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, God will make a way. God will make a way.
It'll be a sad day when we lose the excitement, when we lose the awesomeness of who Jesus is, when we lose sight of all that He's done for us. That's why the old songwriter said, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you. Why would it surprise us? Because we forget. We take for granted. It would surprise us what the Lord has done. Hasn't He done great things? Hasn't He done awesome things? Hasn't He done amazing things? You know, He's known as the astonishing Christ. People were astonished at what He did. He was an astonishing one. He was an amazing one. He was the awesome God. Hallelujah. He was a fearful God. Can I hear? A fearless God. Hallelujah. And it's just, you know, I'm just delighted tonight. I'm delighted to be here. I have my tapes with me. I have four different cassette tapes. I have a brand new tape just out this month entitled Reign, Jesus, Reign. All songs I've written, songs that will bless your heart. Some of the songs will be singing over the weekend. And be sure and get them after the service. One for $8 and or four for $25. That's a deal coming from a Scotsman, so take it. I was kind of laughing when Sister Coffee was talking about forgiveness. Because you know how we say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Forgive us our debts. Is that how you say it? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Well, at the Presbyterians in Scotland, we don't say that. We say, forgive us our trespasses. Because we'd rather forgive trespasses than forgive the debts. Hallelujah. Come on, take a good laugh. Hallelujah. No, don't get all stiff on me. Don't get all religious. Praise the Lord. You'll never get delivered if you're religious. Did you know that? Because religion, that's the thing. It binds you. We need to be free tonight. Thank God we need to be free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. You know, I was in services last week in CBN in Virginia Beach, where I live, for three nights, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And they started at 7, got out at 2. And we laughed. We rolled on the floor. We were delivered. We were set free. Some people spoke in tongues for the first time. I saw people coming out of wheelchairs. I mean, not hearsay. I saw it. A young boy in particular came out of a wheelchair, 16 years old, been paralyzed for 4 years. God wonderfully set him free. While we were all laughing. Is it possible that God could set us somebody free when we're all laughing? Oh yeah, we may, you know, we're not sad. I'm not sad, but I'm very serious. I'm serious what I'm doing here tonight. Or I wouldn't be here. I'd be sitting just eating turkey in Virginia Beach. Again. Oh no, I'm very serious, but I'm not sad. Because He has made me glad. Hallelujah. Ho, ho, ho. Hallelujah. How many tonight have unsaved family members? Now every hand should be up because that's a fact. But some of you maybe don't know this, but over here we have the birthing box. I shared that last year, the year before. And that's a birthing box. And I'll tell you, if you're here tonight for the first time and you've got unsaved family members, I want you to write down a piece of paper all the first names of your unsaved family members. John, Peter, Fiona, all these. Oh, it's a good Scottish name there, Fiona. And Peggy, and stick them in the box, and we're going to believe God for them. We're going to pray for them. Amen? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Well, if you have unsaved loved ones, let me tell you, you need to get this book. It's written by my cousin Philip. It's entitled, It's Time. It's Time for Household Salvation. Can I hear an amen? And I'll tell you, you need to get this book. I only have a few with me. They're $10 each, and it gives you a little story, a bit of a story of the Camerons, but it deals with believing God for every member of your family. My father, 53 years ago, was the first one saved in the Camerons. And God gave him a promise, if you remain faithful, I'll save all your family. 53 years down the line, over 150 of us are saved. Over 30 of us are in full-time ministry because one man believed it was time. And I know it's time. Listen, it is time. The devil's had our kids. The devil's had our families, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers. He's had them far too long. He's had a field day with him. And part of our deliverance this weekend is to believe God, to reach out in faith, believe God, to get our families delivered as well. Amen? When Hannah prayed for a son, little did she know the ramifications of what she was praying for. She didn't lie, she was going to pray for a prophet. She only wanted a son, she thought. But she really was praying for a prophet who at the age of 12 was going to hear from God and subsequently change the whole destiny of a nation. We don't realize what we're praying for sometimes. God wants us to reach out. Amen? Praise the Lord. So be sure and get them after the service. And also have a set of preaching tapes on taking our cities for God. They're just out this week, and I'm going to preach on part of that tonight. Taking our cities for God, and they're $15 for a set of four tapes. Amen? Let me get fixed up here with the wires. Praise the Lord. Give us a big smile. Come on.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
If you read the Bible, every time Jesus went anywhere, there was joy. There was happiness. There was gladness. There was excitement. The children ran to Jesus. Children don't run to sad, dismal, morose people. Did you know that? Don't. They stay clear of them. Because I was a child once myself, and I remember, it wasn't that long ago. But you run to happy people. You run to magnanimous people. Hallelujah. And gregarious people. And Jesus was that kind of person, and that's how he wants us to be tonight. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. And while you're turning, just let me say that I appreciate Glenn and Irma so much. I've known them since I was a wee lad. And praise the Lord. You know, they love the Lord. I've never seen a more dedicated couple. I say that before God. And I wish I had half their dedication. I wish I had half his strength, too. I've never seen a fellow work like that in all my life. Amen. I wish I had his figure as well, praise God, by the way. I preach to eat. I preach to live. And you can tell I've preached a lot in these last few years. And I've eaten well, too. Praise the Lord. Listen, Joshua chapter 6. Reading from the NIV. This is what it says. Verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry the trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Verse 16. Right, have you got it? Joshua chapter 6, and we're at verse 16 right now. That's page 194, by the way. Verse 16. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And verse 20. And when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. Say it with me. And they took the city. Father, I thank you tonight for your presence that indeed makes the feast. Lord, I pray tonight that every ear will be open to hear your word. Father, anoint the ear to hear. Anoint these feeble lips with a coal from off your altar, Lord, so that the anointing will go forth. The anointing will be imparted. The anointing will flow. That revelation will flow.
Yes.
That we will be quickened. So when we leave this place, we will be challenged. We will be changed. Our vision will be sharpened.
Yes.
And Lord, we will be decided and dedicated to take our cities for you. And Father, we will be careful to give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. When I'm talking about cities tonight, let me ask you a question. What's the most important matter in a city? What constitutes a city? People. What's the most important matter here tonight? The tapes, the books, the piano, the accordion? No, no. You are. We are. We're the one that constitutes the conference.
We're the one that makes it matter. We are the important matter here tonight. And when I'm sharing tonight about taking our cities, I want you to see through your eye of faith your family. Your fathers, your mothers, your friends, your even your neighbors. See them taking your cities for God. Because that's what cities are all about. Families and friends and neighbors. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. I was driving several months ago up to Canada, I believe it was in August, and I was coming through Pennsylvania, and I was coming over that beautiful country in Pennsylvania there, and I was taking my wife and kids, and I was doing a camp meeting up in Canada, so I took the kids and the wife with me, and it was beautiful. And, you know, as I was rolling over those beautiful Pennsylvania mountains, I thought to myself, how naive we've been for so many years that we have said about this being the devil's world. How many has ever said that? I've said that. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You know, this is not all. This is the devil's world. How can we be so naive to think that the devil can create such a beautiful planet? That the devil can create such beauty? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
No, this is not the devil's world. He's in charge of the systems. The Bible says in Psalm 34, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all that dwell therein. And this is our Father's world tonight, folks. And you can enjoy it. Now, I just, you know, I love walking around the camp. I just like, it's so nice and it's so restful. And of course, the anointing is here, isn't it? It makes all the difference. He makes all the difference. And when I just love walking out, and I was just thinking that tonight. How can we think this world belongs to the devil? The Bible says he's the prince and power of the air. And if you study that, it's not the beautiful fresh air that we've been breathing in Arkansas. It's the air between the sole of your shoe and the dusty air between the sole of your shoe and the ground. That's the kind of picture that it portrays there. He's the prince and power of the air. And I want to challenge your heart tonight. This is our Father's world, and I believe he means for you and I to reclaim it, to occupy it and reclaim it until Jesus comes back. Can I hear an amen? For so many years, we've had the big eye on heaven and the little eye on earth, and we've been getting ready to leave. For years, we've been getting ready to leave. This world is not my home. Let's go tonight, Lord. We've said that for hundreds of years. He might come back tonight. He maybe will come back tonight. But I somehow or other I think there's a whole lot of work to be done before Jesus comes back. That's why we're here. That's why the camp's in existence. Can I hear an amen? Because out there, when we go up, we're going to go up with a shout. And we're going up with a whole host of people. Can I hear an amen? Hey, we're a whole lot of family members still to come into the kingdom. This is the devil's, this is our Father's world. And he wants you and I to farm it. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascended, he did two things. He left behind the church. Can I hear an amen? You know, if you ever studied the World Wars, I used to read about World War II, because, of course, Great Britain was very much involved in World War II, and so was the Allies, so was the Americans. And I wasn't there myself now, just in case you're wondering. I've just read this, and my father told me different things. But in World War II, when the main army went in and fought a battle, just behind the main army was a smaller contingent called the mop-up crew. You ever heard about the mop-up crew? That's what the Brits called them, the mop-up crew. And they would come in and they would kind of tidy up the job. They'd finish up the job and tidy everything and cross every T and dot every I and just kind of tidy everything up, because the big army had gone in and blasted everything to pieces. And they had just finished the job. When Jesus ascended, he left behind the mop-up crew. Hallelujah. That's us. That's we's folks. Hallelujah. That's the church, the mop-up crew. Just to finish the job. Because he's already won the battle. Can I hear an amen? Calvary sailed it once and for all. He just wants you and I to mop up. Hallelujah. The mop-up crew. The second thing he promised was to send the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost tonight. It's not by might. It's not by power. Let me tell you something. None of us are strong enough to do it on our own. We need the Holy Ghost in our lives. Can I hear an amen? We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need that anointing that breaks the yoke and sets the captives free. He knew fine we couldn't do it on our own, so he sent the Holy Ghost. God wants you and I to occupy. God wants you and I to exercise and get out there and begin to bring them in. Put a hook in their jaw and bring them into the kingdom. And begin to take our cities for God. I was just reading the other day, you know, when the temple was destroyed, and you read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 7, when the temple was destroyed for 70 years, there was no worship. There was no worship because the temple was destroyed. Do you realize in that same 70-year window, Confucius started his religion? Can you believe that in the same window of that 70 years, Muhammad started his religion? Let me tell you something. We can't lay our guard down. Why are the liberals in charge of this nation today? Because we've let our guard down. Because so heavenly-minded, we were no earthly use. Why are all those turkeys in the White House? Because we let our guard down. Why is prayer out of school? And I'll tell you something, that really irks me to think that we allowed prayer to get out of school. Why is prayer out of school? It should never have been. But we let our guard down. We sat back and we got in our little bless me clubs. But I'm here to tell you, it's time to take our cities. Amen. It's time to get out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's time to move on. That's a tremendous song. Move on, move in, move up. Hallelujah. Move out. Because if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And I'll tell you something. I hear those lesbians and homosexuals shouting about their rights. And you know, to hear them shout, you think half the nation was homosexual. Only 1%, the figure 1% of the nation is bent. And that's 1% too much. But to hear them shout and talk while we sit in our glass cages. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord. Now I want to challenge you tonight. It's time we stood up and be counted. Well, some of you are here tonight and some of you are here this weekend. You're going to be delivered. And after you're delivered, you're going to get a Holy Ghost boldness that you've never had before. And you're going to be amazed at how strong you're going to be and how bold you're going to be. And you're going to talk some words that you'll amaze yourself. Because the enemy, the devil, likes us to shut up. The devil doesn't like us to praise the Lord. The devil doesn't like us to say anything about the kingdom of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:10, it says, his intent was that now, unto what principalities and powers might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, the mighty wonder-working supernatural power of God. Hallelujah. God's bride is the church. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says he loved the church and he gave himself for the church. That's you and I. He wants us to stand up and be counted. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? He wants us to take our city, Bill. Take our city. And one of the ways we're going to take our city is through the praise and the worship. Hallelujah. And through the prayers of the saints. Intercessory prayer. Can I hear an amen? The scenario of the story. There's two reasons why the children of Israel are going to take Jericho. Number one, God wants to establish them on the West Bank, or Canaan. And in order to establish them, they had to get a beachhead. And Jericho was going to be the beachhead. And God wanted to establish the children of Israel. Also, God also wanted to establish Joshua as the new leader. Moses was gone. Joshua had filled in his place. But Joshua, if you read the Bible in Joshua chapter 1, he was a little bit weak and insipid and he was struggling a little bit with authority. And God said to him, Joshua, you're going to do this and I'm going to do this for you and I'm going to do this for you. Only thing that I want you to do is what? I want you to be very strong and courageous. There's sometimes you and I have to set ourselves up and set ourselves, I will be strong in the Lord. I will be strong in the power of his might. Joshua, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a leader. You're going to take them into Canaan. The only thing I want you to do is be strong and very courageous. Because if you're not strong, you'll never make it.
Right.
Now I want to challenge your heart tonight. Start getting some backbone. Get rid of the wishbones. Hallelujah. And get some backbones. Praise God. Because God's looking for a strong people. And what you can do, God will make up for. Hallelujah. I remember one time my uncle was telling me, we have a Bible college in Scotland, and he was driving up the highway one day, and he's thinking about what he owed and what he had in the bank. And he thought to himself, my goodness, in order for me for my needs to be met, one and one would have to equal 33. And the Lord spoke to him as he thought about it and said, hey, one plus me will be everything you'll ever need. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen tonight? And I'll tell you tonight, listen, whatever we don't have, God will make up for. But don't just sit in your seat with your mouth open, expecting something to happen all the time. Get up and do something.
Amen.
Don't stand on the promises and sit in the premises. Do something. Hallelujah. Be challenged. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Are we having fun yet?
Yes.
Are we being challenged yet? I'm having a great time up here, praise God. In fact, this is so good, I wish I was down there listening to it. Who said that? No, you should know better. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Taking our cities. He wanted to establish Joshua, he wanted to establish Israel. But there are some things, some principles we need to adhere to in order to take our cities. And I want to go through them with you. You have a piece of paper and a pen, write them down. The first thing you and I need to do in order to take our cities, first of all, we're going to have to take instruction. We're going to have to take instruction. In chapter 5, they came to Gilgal. The children of Israel came to Gilgal. And God said to Joshua, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Make sharp knives and circumcise again all the males in Israel. Boy, that's a tough order, isn't it? Now, this is a sensitive subject, so I want you to be wise about it. I want you to circumcise all the males in Israel. You know what that tells me? That tells me that they had lost sight of the promise of God. In their struggles and wanderings through the desert, they had got their eyes off and their hearts away from the promises of God.
Amen.
Now, they were still the children of God. They're still, we may say, part of the church. But they had lost sight of God. They had forgotten the promises of God, because in Genesis 17, God promised Abraham, listen, I'm going to bless you. Your seed is going to be as the stars of the sky, and as your seed is going to be multiplied and so numerous that you can't even count them. He said, and as a token of this promise to you, Abraham, I want you to circumcise all the males in Israel 8 days and up. But somehow or other, it shows me that there was a complacency amongst the parents in their wanderings through the wilderness. Let me tell you tonight, folks, it hurts me to have but 4 children. And I'll tell you, I say, Lord, never let me get complacent. My children need to see a move of God. Help me to rear my children, raise my children, that they'll know what you're all about. That they'll know the promises of God. That they'll know the word of God. Is that what he said about Abraham? He says, I know him, that he will teach his children and his children's children.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, folks, we could be busy sitting in church tonight, and there's parents sitting all over churches. We're so much interested in ourselves, we forgot about our families. But I want you young parents especially, you need to start training your children and teaching your children. Remember Hannah? The Bible says Hannah, she prayed for a son. And she says she promised him to God. And the Bible says after she had weaned him, 3 years of age, the Hebrew woman weaned her children. The Bible says, after she had weaned him, she brought him to Eli the priest in a strange town, in a strange tabernacle, staying with a strange priest. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, 4 different times. And after the mother left him and he was left on his own, the Bible said, Samuel ministered to the Lord. Samuel ministered to the Lord. That mother had instilled so much in that little baby as she dangled him on her knee that when he was left on his own, he knew how to praise the Lord. I'm talking to you tonight. I want to challenge your heart. Let's not get all the blessing to ourselves and forget our families. It showed me the complacency. Somehow or other, the mothers and fathers had forgot to circumcise their children. And let me tell you something. God has got no grandchildren. You've heard it before. We all need to have an experience for ourselves. I was sitting with my wife the other day, and the tears are running down my face. I'm saying, Margaret, our children need a move of God. They've never really seen a move of God like we've seen it. But I'll tell you something, it's beginning to rain. I've never been excited for a long time like I'm excited just now. There's something going on. There's a moving in the tops of the mulberry trees. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? And the only qualification you need is to hunger and thirst, because you will be filled. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? Take sharp knives and circumcise the children. Boy, that's a tough order to fulfill. But let me tell you something tonight. Obedience is sometimes difficult. Disobedience is always deadly. I'll run that one by you one more time. Obedience is sometimes difficult. Disobedience is always deadly. Circumcision, it means taking away of the flesh. Taking away of the flesh. God is getting ready to do a tremendous miracle before the children of Israel, and he wants to be sure that the flesh is out of the way. Now let's settle this tonight. How many lies the flesh does not want to praise the Lord? The flesh does not want to be delivered. The flesh would have you sitting there with your arms folded and the Pentecostal arm lock, singing, I shall not be moved. In fact, the Bible says very plainly that the flesh is always at enmity with the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. For us to receive anything, we need to get the flesh out of the way.
Amen.
Wasn't that Abraham's problem? God was kind of taking his time on his promise, and he thought he would help him out a little bit. And he said, and Hagar has caused nothing but trouble ever since. Can I hear an amen? I'm going to tell you something. If we don't get rid of the flesh, it'll kill us. The flesh will kill you. Because the Bible says, no flesh shall glory in his presence. In fact, the Bible talks about Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion's a flesh eater, isn't he? He wants to devour your flesh. He's more willing to eat your flesh than we are willing to give him our flesh. Hallelujah. Taking away the flesh. God wants to do something, and he wants to make sure the flesh is out of the way. And I'm going to tell you this weekend, get your flesh out of the way. When that old flesh says to you, oh, don't you lift your hand up. You don't need delivered. You're okay. Get your hand up and get delivered.
Amen.
Everybody needs delivered. Can I hear an amen? What does circumcision mean? It means total devotion. Total devotion. Not just from our side, but from God's side. See, that's what God is saying. You've lost sight of the promise, Joshua, and I want you to get sharpness and circumcise all the males because I want to sharpen up your contract again. Take another look at your contract. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes we fail to read our contract. How many of our contracts got many pages? And if you don't read your contract, you'll never know what's in it. I had an insurance friend, and still have in Phoenix. He's been in the insurance business for 50 years, and he used to tell me, the big print gives it to you, and the small print takes it from you. I say, amen, eh? I know all about that. But we need to get... That's what God said. Hey, we want to renew the contract again, Joshua. We've lost out here somewhere, so let's renew the contract. Because as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I want to bless you. I want to prosper you. I want to, because of the promise of Abraham. But we need to get the flesh out of the way. You need to do your side, and I'll do mine. And I'm going to tell you, all through the Bible, you hear God say to the children of Israel, you do and I will. You do and I will. That's another message. You do and I will. Hallelujah. It means total devotion. Do you realize that nobody, Numbers 32 says that nobody over the age of 20 who left Egypt saw Canaan because of lack of devotion. And that's sad, isn't it? Oh, they came out of Egypt. They came over the Red Sea. Somebody said that tonight. They saw the miracles in the Red Sea, but because of their unbelief and the lack of devotion, they never saw the fulfillment of the promise of God. And they could have. They could have been in Canaan within 12 weeks. But because of lack of devotion and their unbelief, God just spanned them around the mountain until they're all dead. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And I'll tell you something. Let me tell you this. I don't want them. I don't want my kids to go into Canaan and me die in a wilderness. I'm like Joseph. My bones up as well. Hallelujah. I want to get into Canaan too. Amen. Praise the Lord. It means total devotion. It also means total submission.
Yes.
Total submission. Well, let's face it, you'll never be circumcised unless you're submitted. I was in the hospital 3 years ago to have nodules removed from my vocal cords. And I'll tell you something, Doc, excuse me, but I don't like doctors and I don't like hospitals. Maybe I have to be delivered from that fear, I don't know. But, you know, I'm a brave man behind the pulpit, and I'm a brave man in a lot of areas in my life, a lot of instances, and if anybody was going to go for me, I'd be a brave man. But when it comes to doctor's knives, Peggy, if something gets into me, a fear gets into me. And I mean, that's a pretty minor operation, getting nodules cut off your vocal cords. But, you know, they put you down there, and I must have looked like death itself. Just the color must have been drained up my cheeks. And I'm lying there on the gurney or the bed there, and, you know, and this little 90-year-old nurse is tapping me in the head. Oh, Reverend Cameron, be brave, be brave. That said it all. But I'll tell you what. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But I'll tell you what. Thank God I haven't been to hospitals much, though. I'll say that. The moment they stick that needle into your arm and you get that little woozy feeling, it doesn't matter. You don't know what they take out or what they put in. Because you're totally gone. You're totally submitted. And I'll tell you something, when you're totally submitted to God, it doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter whether you laugh, whether you cry, whether you shake, or whatever you do, it doesn't matter. Because you're totally submitted. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Total submission. It also means total protection. Total protection. We all want protection, don't we? I'll tell you what, I've got twins that are 16. Twins. A boy and a girl. And they just started driving last month. I should really take up an offering right now. And my insurance went from 900 to 2,900. Overnight, just for protection. But you know, circumcision, that's what it means too, protection. Remember the story when David and Goliath was facing the Israelite army, and little David came down, 5'2", eyes of blue. And he looks at him, it's an amazing thing that Goliath, he had the whole army of Israel at a standstill for 40 days, and all he did was threaten them. He never shot his arrow, never shot his spear. All he did was threaten. And isn't it amazing sometimes the devil has us paralyzed just with mere threats? Little David comes wandering down. Hey, what's going on here? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That word uncircumcised, it's a Hebrew word, arel, A-R-E-L. It means totally exposed. No armor, no protection. I'll tell you tonight, to be circumcised means we're protected. We're under the blood. Can I hear an amen? I'm under the blood of the Lamb. No weapon formed against me shall stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. He signed my deed with His atoning blood. He ever lives to make His promise sure. Though all the hosts of hell march in to make a second claim, they all march out at the mention of His name. Hallelujah. Have you got the flesh taken from me tonight? Take instruction. Take instruction. The second thing we have to do is take position. Take position. I'm not keeping you too long on that. Give me another 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Praise the Lord. I'll keep going until the Holy Spirit stops. Take position. In order to take position, you've got to know your enemy. You know, when I was younger, I used to love watch boxing on the TV in Scotland before I came to the States. I used to love to watch the boxing. And you know, in the boxing matches, the boxers came out to the, and the referee mumbled the Marcus of Queensbury rules and all this stuff. Then they would go back to their corner. And in Britain, after they went back to their corner, the bell rang. The referee would shout, "Toe the line." That meant that you got up and you went in and you towed the line and you started boxing. You know, in order to take our cities, we've got to take position. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says in chapter 5, they came to Jericho. They came to Jericho. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. If you don't know your enemy, you're in trouble. After all, what was the problem in Vietnam with the mighty American army? With all the might that Americans had, what was the problem? They didn't know their enemy. And it eventually beat them, didn't it? It beat them down. They were trying to preserve the same breed of people they were fighting against. What's the problem in Britain with Ireland? They don't know their enemy. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if you don't know who you're fighting, you'll be beating the air. You'll be running at the wrong vanguard. We've got to know our enemy. Can I hear an amen? We've got to know our enemy. Let me tell you who the enemy is not. It's not the Methodist church down the street. It's not the Baptist church. It's not the other Pentecostal church on the other side of town. The Bible states who the enemy is. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. So let's stop fighting one another. Can I hear an amen? I hate when I hear preachers get up talking about the church down the street. I said, my goodness, they're in the wrong arena. We should be fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's our enemy. Hallelujah. And when you find out who your enemy is, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, He says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. When we know our enemy, you run to the roar. Can I hear one amen? Now, 20 years ago, just before I was married, I was in Scotland. I was home for a while. I traveled here, and then I went home for a couple of years to get married. So I took a job as a commercial fisherman, because that was the easiest way to make a lot of money in a short time. And I took this job as a commercial fisherman, and if you got in the right ship, I made $1,000 a week 20 years ago. It's more than I make now, for that matter. But I wouldn't change it, praise the Lord. But oftentimes in the North Sea, and Doc here has been up in Peterhead, and he knows how wild that weather gets. You know, I laugh when I hear the weather report, there's going to be 15 and 16 feet waves, and Listen, that's chicken feed. When we get waves in the North Sea, they're 50 and 60 feet high. You talk about a roller coaster ride. In fact, last winter, the winter was so bad, and one night, that the oil rigs are 90 feet, the deck of the oil rigs are 90 feet above the water. And the water was licking stuff off the decks of the oil rigs. One of the storms. And anyway, when I was at the commercial fisherman, We would go out there in the North Sea, and every now and again we would get caught in a storm. And the captain of the ship, he wouldn't take the ship and try and ride and try and beat the storm, because you couldn't beat the storm, it was too powerful. He certainly wouldn't take the ship across the storm, or you would get what they call a broadside, and the ship would keel over on its side. No, the safest place for the ship to be in the storm was right into the eye of the storm. And he would face the ship in the eye of the storm, he'd pull back the throttle, and we would bounce up and down like that for maybe hours. In fact, there was one time we were 2 days like that, up and down, couldn't move. We called it dodging the storm. Well, you talk about a ride of your life, I'll tell you. Whew. Up and down, up. We fasted for 2 days. Only 2 days of my life I've fasted. No. You see, that was the safest position to be in. What am I saying tonight? Know your enemy. Face your enemy. Go right up to their face and just stand there until the enemy leaves. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Don't run from him, because he'll catch you sooner or later. Of course, one of our biggest enemies is self. Flesh. Can I hear an amen? When Noah came out the ark, all of his enemies were drowned, or so he thought. But Noah came out of the ark. And the Bible says that Noah began to plant vineyards. And very shortly, the Bible says that Noah was found drunk in his vineyards. And it cost him, didn't it? It cost him. Because we are ourselves to blame. Take instruction. Take position. Know your enemy. Listen, secondly, we need to get rid of fear. You'll never take your city if you're fearful. In order to take position, you've got to get rid of fear. Remember a story in Judges about Gideon? Gideon was one of those guys that he was willing to tread the wine press and do something when the enemy was all around about him. He was willing to take a chance. He had no fear. And the angel of the Lord came and said, Gideon, the valiant man, I'm going to use you and you're going to beat the enemy. I want you to get an army together. 32,000 men. That's a good troop, isn't it? So off he went to beat the enemy, very confident in God. God has spoken to him, and he put a fleece out, and the fleece had been met, and off he went. But along the journey, the Lord said to him, listen, I think you have too many men, because I'm going to do a miracle for you. I'll tell you what I would like you to do. Ask all those that are afraid to go home. And I can imagine Gideon saying, well, I know there's at least a couple of hundred that are afraid. I mean, I've spoken to one or two of them, so I mean, I'll lose 200 or 300 people. That will still manage. So he got up and he said, listen, all those that are afraid, I want you to go home. 22,000 people. I probably would have been one of them too. So don't condemn. 22,000 people, nearly two-thirds of his army, over two-thirds of his army, left him. See, you can't fight if you're afraid. You can't fight if you're afraid. I was watching the television one time. And it was a Discovery Channel. I know it sounds very pious that I was watching the Discovery Channel. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad used to say, oh, I like to watch the news. It was like a religious thing. You couldn't watch a movie, you had to watch the news, you know. And I like to watch a movie too, folks, now and again. But I was happy to be watching the Discovery Channel one night, and it was a story about a rabbit being chased by a weasel. Do you have weasels down here in Arkansas? You know, it's a thing like an elongated rat. That's about the only way I could describe it. Ugly. So anyway, a bit like that pig, like a possum, but uglier and quicker, and anyway, faster. Yeah, yes. And it was chasing this rabbit, and the rabbit could easily outrun it. But what happened was, as the rabbit was running, all of a sudden the rabbit stopped to look back to see where the weasel is, and when he saw the weasel, he would get paralyzed with fear, and the weasel would hypnotize him. The weasel would look right in the rabbit's eyes and hypnotize the rabbit. And while the rabbit was standing there totally hypnotized, the weasel would just creep up. And finally, right up to the rabbit and get him and kill him. Hey, haven't we been like that sometimes? We're running a good race and the devil paralyzes us with fear. You know, when it happens to me sometimes, people think, oh, the preachers never get fear. You better believe it. But you know, you learn to fight fear. You learn to rebuke fear. But you know when it happens to me? Sometimes when I go to my bed at night and I'll just put my head in the pillow, instead of switching off, I'll switch on. And everybody's sleeping except me. And the old devil's sitting on my shoulder. You're not going to make it. You'll never write another song. You'll never preach another message. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you will somehow, sooner or later. The sooner the better, because then you can handle it. Paralyzed with fear. But listen, we need to get rid of fear. Amen? Fear. You know, I had a prophecy one time in Australia. And, you know, some prophecies are prophetic. Some are pathetic. And this one prophecy that I heard was, this lady got up and she began to prophesy an aborigine. And she said, "Thus saith the Lord, I see the fear in your heart. But that's okay. I've been feared once or twice myself." "I've been afraid once or twice myself." How many know the Lord has never known fear? I'll tell you what. We need to listen to everything we listen to. We need to weigh it and prove it and test it. Amen? Sometimes we say it's the Lord and you find out there's too much cheese the night before. Fear. We've got to get rid of fear. You know why? Fear is the dark room where we develop all our negatives. Fear is the dark room where we develop all our negatives. Total protection. Take position. Get rid of fear. Listen. Know your enemy, get rid of fear. Thirdly, be well armed. You can't take position if you're not armed. We need to get into the Word of God and find out in Ephesians 6 what our armor is and all the rest of the chapters. Find out what we have in Christ. Find out what our inheritance is. When David came down to Goliath again, and he said, I'll fight with him. And Saul said, and he went to Saul's tent. And Saul said, look, you better try on this armor. If you're going to fight with him, you better try this on and dress David up in Saul's armor. And David said, I can't use this. I'm not familiar with this. How many know you cannot fight with something you're not familiar with? We need to get familiar, Glenn, with our armor. I'm going to tell you something. In deliverance services, don't you try to deliver somebody if you're not familiar with your armor. Because you'll get more than you bargain for. Like the sons of Sceva. We need to know what our armor is. We need to know the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Can I hear an amen? We need to be well armed. Several years ago, I was at home one Sunday, and I was in my home church, and I went to pick up my youngest daughter. She's 9, and she must have been about 4 or 5 at that time. She was in the nursery. So I went to pick her up, and my sister-in-law was in the nursery looking after the kids. And when I'm in the nursery, she said, Robert, she says, she was using one of those carpet sweepers. You know, the Beck's Bissells? I don't know. Is that what you call them? You know, just carpet sweepers. You know, Bissells. She said to me, Robert, this thing's not working. Can you have a look at it? And I'm kind of a handyman as well, you know. I shouldn't say that too loud around here. But I'm a kid of my high mind. So I took a thing up and I started looking at it and I found out it was a Fisher-Price toy. And I looked at my sister-in-law and I said, Margaret, that's a toy. That's for the kids to play with. You'll never clean the carpet with that. And I thought to myself, isn't that just like us? We've been playing with Fisher-Price. Instead of using the sword of the Spirit. Instead of using the real tools of warfare. We've been using Fisher-Price and Tonka. We need to be well armed. Hallelujah. Know the armor of God. Listen, take position. Take instruction. Take position. Thirdly, take possession. Take possession. Get out. And get your city for God. Can I hear an amen? In order to take possession, get rid of the walls. Get the walls down. Whatever walls, find out where the walls are and get them down. Amen? Romans 8 says, when you don't know what to pray for, start praying the Spirit. And the Spirit will make intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. When we don't find out what kind of wall it is, if it's a wall of perversion, if it's a wall of idolatry, if it's whatever it is, find out what it is and let's pray the walls down. Let's shout the walls down. Amen? Now, after we get the walls down, let's go straight in. The Bible says that in verse 20, every man went straight in. Because I'll tell you why. If you pray the walls down and you don't go straight in, the Mormons will go straight in. The Jehovah's Witnesses will go straight in. Islam will go straight in. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to hear about what's going on in Russia and Romania and all these places, but I'm going to tell you something. The wheat grows with the tares. Alongside our missionaries and alongside the good guys, the Muslims are there and the Jehovah's Witnesses are there. So we can't let our guard down. Hallelujah. Go straight in. Get the rid of walls. Go straight in. Listen and hold on to. The Bible says in verse 24, they put the treasure, and they held on to the treasure and put it in the house of the Lord. The treasure, the family members. Get a hold of your family members. When the walls come down, get out and grab them and bring them into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't let them go till you get them in. Remember the bride in the Song of Solomon, when she finally found her lover, she said she held on to him. And she would not let him go till she brought him to her mother's house. Oh, she had lost him once. She wasn't going to lose him. She wasn't going to lose him twice. Let me tell you something. When the walls come down and we go straight in, let's grab on to our family members. Let's get in there and get a word in and bring them to the house of the Lord. Don't let go of them. Don't lose them. Take instruction. Take possession. Take position. Take possession. And finally and most importantly, take God. Take God. Verse 6. It says, Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The ark of the covenant signified the presence of God. Right. Signified the provision of God. Signified the power of God. We can't do anything without the anointing of God. Right. Take up the ark with the priests. Let the ark go ahead of you. When Joshua came, in chapter 5, verse 14, Joshua came to Jericho and he met an angel with a flaming sword. And Joshua said to him, and I'll paraphrase it, are you here to take sides? And the angel said, no, I'm here to take over. I'm here to take over. I remember watching Robin Hood one time, and he came into the Sherwood Forest, and he said to the man, and the man shouted, hey, Robin, are you here to join us? He said, no, I'm here to lead you. Are you here to take sides? No, I'm here to take over. Take your shoes off. That maybe doesn't mean a lot to you, but that was very significant. That was a Hebrew custom called the casting of the shoe or the covenant of the loose shoe. If you got into debt and you couldn't pay your debt, you can go to your nearest kinsman and you would tell them and say, look, I'm in debt. I can't get out of debt. Can you stand good for my debt? Can you take over my debt? And if he agreed to take over your debt or she agreed to take over your debt, in front of the elders of the city, you would take your shoes off and you'd hand it to your kinsman, as a sign in front of everybody, he was now responsible. You know what the angel of the Lord said to Joshua? I know you can't do it on your own. Take your shoes off. Remember Moses in Exodus chapter 3? What am I, Lord? It's amazing that, you know, because he was brought up in the halls of Egypt. He was learning all the knowledge of Egypt, and yet he'd been looking after dumb sheep for 40 years and he couldn't talk at all. Ba, 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 ba. The Lord said to him, take your shoes off. What you cannot do, I'll do. Listen, folks, I can read some of your minds. Who am I to take my city? Who am I? I'm the least of the least. I can hear God saying to you tonight, take your shoes off. What you cannot do, I can. We can only do the possible, though. God does the impossible. Shall we stand our feet tonight? Listen. Everybody's standing.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 2 and 8 says, ask of me, and I will give the nations as an inheritance.
Hallelujah.
That word nations can be translated your families or the clan.
Mm-hmm.
Ask of me. How many of we have not because we ask not? Remember the old song, oh, what needless pains we bear. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. William Carey, the great missionary, he made a quote one day and he said this, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. We're going to take our cities, aren't we? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, Holy Spirit, anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on us, Lord. You may be here tonight, you've never given your heart to Jesus. You've never given your heart to Jesus. You could be the very person that God's looking for to take your whole family into the kingdom. But you need to submit to Jesus. You're going to say, Brother Cameron, I want to get saved. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Flip your hand up right now. Right up. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about being long to church. I'm talking about being saved, being born again. Everybody's saved. I wonder tonight, how many here want to take your city for God? Let me see that hand. Amen. Well, I'll tell you how we're going to do it. We're going to do it in the power of the anointing. The power of the anointing. I'll tell you what I want you to do tonight. I believe we can impart an anointing to each other. I believe we can impart. I'll tell you, I was in a meeting last Monday night, and I got such a touch of the anointing. All day Tuesday, all I did was cry. I sat in the house in my office, and I sat in the keyboard, and I wrote songs. And I cried. I called my wife at work, and I couldn't talk to her. I was crying. I called my neighbor. I started talking to him. I started bubbling. It was the Holy Spirit. But I knew God was cleansing me. I knew God was filling me. I knew God was working in me. Listen tonight, maybe some of you need to feel that tonight. Maybe some of you just need to feel. And we can impart that anointing to you tonight. If you want that anointing, where's the oil, Brother Glenn? If you want that anointing, I'll tell you what I want you to do. That Bible box, isn't it? With a little one. Down there somewhere, Bill. Yeah, the Bible box, that's right. Oh, it's gone. What did you do with it today? Well, Father, looking for the oil, praise the Lord. It's in the big box, thank you. How many want a touch from God tonight? Well, it's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm willing to take time with you. Now, we can have meetings till the cows come home. And just have a good service. And we can judge the depth of the meeting by the weight of the goosebumps on our arms. But I know tonight some of you need a real touch of the anointing. Some of you need to have the anointing imparted to you. I'm going to ask Glenn to come, and we're going to pray for you. And I just want you to come up to the left here and come along. And we're going to lay hands upon you. We're going to anoint you. And we're going to impart a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Right under the nose of your enemy, he'll furnish a table. Hallelujah. So come on, right now. Start moving. Brother Glenn, come on. Just come right down here. We're going to just pass on through. Glenn, stand over here. And I'll stand here. And hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for Peggy right now. For Brother Bill, in Jesus' name, Lord. I impart that anointing in Jesus' name. That fresh anointing. In Jesus' name, we impart a new anointing, Lord. Fresh oil from the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Lord, I impart a new anointing on this brother. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, anoint him in Jesus' name. Take away all the flesh, Lord. And put in a heart a new spirit, Lord, and a new desire to worship you and to live for you. In Jesus' name, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for a new anointing on our sister right now. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, we impart an anointing of the Holy Ghost that sets the captive free. There it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. After that, filled with power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In Jesus' name, we pray for our brother right now, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Spring up within, Lord. Hallelujah. Spring up within. Hallelujah. And overflow. In Jesus' name. New anointing fall on me. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramasanda, we pray for our sister right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, there it is. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're the filler, Lord. You're the baptizer. You're the giver. Father, we impart a new anointing in this life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, a new anointing of the Holy Ghost in our life. In Jesus' name. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray for our sister right now. Oh, a new anointing, Lord. Hallelujah. Fresh oil from heaven. Fresh oil from the throne room, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. Grant our desire. More of you, Lord. More of you. More of you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for a new anointing. Lord, release our sister right now in Jesus' name. Take away anything that would hinder, Lord, the flow of your Holy Ghost in our life. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, Lord. Fill. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord. We pray for our sister right now, Lord. Let the anointing fall on her right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Fill to overflowing, Father. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet in Jesus' name. Oh, we feel the Holy Spirit right now, Lord. We feel it. Hallelujah. We just release it over her right now in Jesus' name. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, Rama Shandra Kabasanta. And your anointing is what we need, Lord. In Jesus' name. Ronkobo Shindra Mamasanta. We impart right now, Lord, a fresh anointing. We impart it right now to this being, Lord, this soul. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, this brother. We thank you for it, Lord. Release him, Father. Cause him to, in the nighttime or tonight, Lord, to sing forth your praises. In Jesus' name. Put a new song in his heart. Put a new song in his spirit, Lord. In Jesus, a song of deliverance. A song of praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for this couple right now. In Jesus' name. Who is like unto you, Lord? We pray, Lord, you're the giver. You're the baptizer. Jesus, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, baptize him in the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill him, Lord, with that fresh anointing. We impart new strength. Hallelujah. We impart new vision. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Seek and you shall find. Hallelujah. Father, fill to overflowing right now. Just lift your hands and praise the Lord. Amen. Open up this being, Lord. Open up this spirit this tonight. Oh, release her, Father, in Jesus' name. With anointing of the Holy Ghost on life. Give her Holy Ghost boldness. Lord, take away timidity. Take away fear, Lord. Take away confusion. And we speak an anointing into this vessel right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Father, let your anointing fall in this vessel right now. Rama mama shutro kaba santa rahina mama santa. O karaba santro kaba tini. In Jesus' name, Lord. Fill to overflowing. In Jesus' name. Yes.
He said for you to anoint my hands.
Yes, praise the Lord. Lord, we anoint our hands to be used by you. Lord, you said in Psalm 34, you teach our hands to war. And Father, we anoint these hands for warfare in Jesus' name. Raka baba shandro kaba santa tatakahina. Holy Spirit, do your work. You do your complete work, Lord, in Jesus' name. Rakabo Sontro Kostini. Hallelujah. Yes, he teaches our hands to war in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ukaba Satoko Hina Masai. Oh Lord, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, a fresh anointing. We impart it, Lord. We agree together and we impart it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.